Ashley Easter.
And I'm Charlie Grantham, and you're listening to Serendipity,
the podcast where we explore everyday magic all around us. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Serendipity podcast. I'm Ashley, and Charlie's here, too.
Hello.
And we're actually doing something we've not done before. This is a two-part episode type thing. So this is going to be part one, and then our next episode is going to be part two. So we're going to be talking about sexist myths. And in this first episode, we're going to talk about kind of some serious ones, some things that like actually have a lot of strong impact in the world. And then in part two, come back because we have a special guest and we're going to be talking about some very funny sexist myths. So this is going to be a good foundation layer. And then the next one, you're just going to die laughing. We've got some great stories to share. Yeah.
And I feel like we have to get the serious out of the way, because if we just go straight to the funny, in the back of my mind, I'm going to be like, but I want to say this is because of this. So we can just get the serious part out of the way. And then we can just laugh about the stupid stuff. But I'm so excited for this one. I feel like this is like right up our alley, because our friendship developed from like feminism and like blogging about like Christian feminism at the time. And so I think it's like perfect, like a perfect episode for us. And also I think it's like, just wanted to say, like, I feel like, so we're going to be talking about sexist myths, but I'm sure you feel the same way, Ashley. I feel like you could create a whole podcast just about like myths and stereotypes of like every group.
What I mean? Yeah, like there's so many,
and they're like, a lot of them are like actually harmful. So I think that's why we're gonna start with like the more serious tone today, but yeah, I'm actually excited for both. I think I already know some of what we're gonna talk about for the funny episode, and I'm like, they're so ridiculous that it's just like, yeah, it's hilarious. But
we're talking about the sexist myths because those are the ones that we personally have encountered the most. And so we definitely understand that this is not like the whole conversation of myths, but these are the ones that we have seen and have impacted our lives. And so that's the ones we're qualified to talk most about. Charlie, this was kind of your idea to bring this conversation together. And so do you want to start us out?
Sure. Yeah. I kind of, I think I thought of this because my friend Mindy, who will be on our part two episode, she was telling me about this, like, a stupid myth, which I think we're going to talk about. I guess I can start us off with a friend who is a man, really truly believes this to his core. And she told me, and I was just like, this is like the dumbest thing like I've ever heard. So this first myth is that basically men have to have sex or they will die. Like it will be bad for their health, which it is really funny when you like, as soon as you hear it, you're like, that is like, so like somebody believes this, like, but, I think it like made me kind of like mad, 'cause I'm like, the implications of that type of belief, you know, I think it carries a lot of weight, and I think it connects to other like sexist myths I've heard. And I actually like, I think all of the myths that I have to talk about today involve sex. So I guess I could just like connect them all. But first of all, that's not true. If you know, if you're hearing it here first, it's not true. That's like just medically, that's not true. I even like typed it into Google to see like what Google would say. And Google even said, first of all, it's not bad for like men's health. And second, it abstaining from sex actually can be good for your health. Mm-hmm. So just to clear it out there, like put it out there, it is not, that's not true.
And there's also like a lot of different cultures, like spiritual traditions across the world through the ages, where abstaining from sex is actually seen as something really like powerful. And I'm all about that body positivity and having sex consensually when you want to, mm-hmm. but just like, think of the Catholic monks who, or priests who aren't supposed to have sex for forever. They're supposed to be virgins and all this. And, so just to have that myth floating around, it's like, where do people get this from?
Right. And it, like you said, it doesn't even make sense when you think about like the world. If you have like cultural awareness, like you realize there are not just Catholic monks, there's like monks from like other religions, like religions all over the world where that is a part of their like religious vows and duties is to abstain from sex. And so it's just like, it doesn't make like logical sense, but I feel like an implication with that is that men like expect sex and that women should give sex to men. And I think in this situation, we're talking, I think mostly about cisgender, like heterosexual mm-hmm. people, specifically men, because I think that's where a lot of these myths come from. And another myth that kind of connects to this is, you know, I've heard that like for men, sex is about like pleasure and like feeling good and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But for women, it's more of like about intimacy and like a emotional connection. And it's like that again is harmful. It also, I feel like connects to this thing where like, oh, well, men need this, you know, whereas like for women, oh, it doesn't really matter. Like, you know, it's just, it's for you so that you can like feel like emotionally secure with your partner or something like that, which creates so many problems in like for so many different like directions, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Cause on one hand, I feel like that involves women not communicating and speaking up in sex and being able to like confidently say, this is what I like, this is what I want. Because at the end of the day, maybe it's not really about me. Maybe it's about him feeling good. You know, like it creates those beliefs within women. I think it also gives men a sense of entitlement because, oh, I need this like to survive or, you know, like, and so like, you should give this to me because I need this like biologically.
Have you heard about the incels? Have you heard about those?
No.
Okay. So it's like taking that, what you just said, to the extreme of like this belief that men have to have sex and that they deserve to have it from women and often like particular types of women that they would, you know, see as more beautiful. Mm-hmm. And incels are actually, I would say it's like a cult like group, but they kind of banded together over the internet. And there have been some like terrorist attacks against women in the US based on them simply believing that women owe them sex and mm-hmm. That there's certain kinds of guys that get it and that they're not the kind of guys that get it and that women are like trying to punish them, when I'm thinking, you know, might be your personality. It might be your personal grooming behaviors because no one wants to kiss bad breath. But it actually, there's groups of men who believe that, demand that, and then have gone on to carry out a lot of violence against women kind of in the name of like, we deserve to have sex and you're really harming us by not, you know, giving us sex when we want it. And so it there are kind of funny parts about like men actually believing that that's real, that they'll, you know, die if they don't have sex. But then there's also like this really serious part of like some men truly believe that and then carry it out to its logical end of, if you won't give this to me, I will take it or I will harm you in other ways.
No, that actually makes sense. I remember I just I was watching one of this comedy special on Netflix. I can't remember her name. I think it's Liza Schlesinger or something. It's something like a really long. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she is the elder millennial. That was like one of her titles.
Okay, I think I've seen. Yeah,
I really like her. She's great, especially her last one. There's lots of like, she just lots of feminism and like, but just very like, she just does it and delivers it so well. But she was saying, like what you were just saying, I don't think she used that term, but she was saying like, even like the men, some like mass shootings have been carried out by men, and in their like manifesto, it's like, well, women didn't give me attention and I deserve attention. And so I'm going to do this. And she said basically what you said too, like, maybe it's a you problem. Like maybe like, you know, it is obviously, it's obviously not women, but that's why these beliefs are harmful, because there are people. And I think knowing the situation of the man who said this, I don't think that particular man is someone who would force, you know, himself on a woman or, you know, have these extreme beliefs, but there are people, there are men who would take it and do take it that far. Yeah. And I think even when you take out just like the components of violence, mm-hmm. even just believing that, I think it could alter like subconsciously just the way you view women, mm-hmm. And like just viewing this like distinction between like men and women. And I just think it's harmful in so many ways, in terms of violence, in terms of people's like their sexual journeys and being able to like communicate what they need, mm-hmm. and feel like they can, not only can women feel like they can communicate that, but men who realize that they need to respond to what she's communicating, too. And another myth, and this is my last one, it is also kind of connected to this, is when I was in high school, and I wish I would have wrote this down so I would have it word for word, but I'm just going off my memory here. My boyfriend told me that men, like biologically, like the way like biology is that men were not designed to be in committed relationships. Like men were designed to literally have sex with as many women as possible. And women were really only designed to have sex with like one man, but men were designed to have sex. But it was only because of his Christian faith that he was committed to one, which is the dumbest thing. I remember thinking like, does this like, I mean, I was like little 15-year-old, like, I don't feel like this makes sense. Like, I don't logically, like what? And also like, what are you saying? Like, are you saying that you were like, just so like looking at every other woman, wishing right. you could be with every other girl, you know, mm-hmm. but only because of God that you can restrain yourself and like right. have self-control. Like, it's like so dumb, but I feel like it goes with these other myths that like, I don't know. I just think at the end of the day, it's very harmful in how it causes men to like either consciously or subconsciously view women and view themselves. And again, like you said, it can, in some situations resort, you know, end up in, and I say in some, in probably many situations, mm-hmm. not even just, you know, there are some like mass shootings and like terrorist attacks against women, but also just like everyday like violence, like domestic violence or intimate partner violence. I'm sure there are some, like it just plays to this whole grander scheme of the patriarchy, whereas men are just entitled and they deserve things. And this is just like the laws of nature, you know, like they think they have biology on their right. side. And a lot of the times I do think it's conscious. And a lot of times I also think it's like a subconscious, you know, thing that they're socialized to believe. So, right. so yeah, those are mine. And,
yeah. So with that, like what comes to my mind is like, I have some friends, who have open marriages, and I have some friends who are polyamorous, and I think that they have every right to do that. And if it is mm-hmm. consensual, if it is well thought out, if everybody is on board, if there's like safety and boundaries, like you do you. But two things here. One is it's both men and women who are making the choices if they want to be polyamorous or in an open relationship. In fact, I know of one relationship where it's just the woman who is interested in kind of the open marriage and her husband's fine with it. So kind of this idea that it's men that can't just be in monogamous relationships and that women definitely want that. Like, that's just not true.
Right.
But the other thing is there's a difference between this is something that I enjoy. This is something that I'm going to be upfront about. This is something that everybody's going to be on the same page with. And I personally, I'm not talking about me, but like a person personally would like to have multiple sexual partners. It's different from somebody believing that innately they not only have that desire, which they may, but then stacked on top of that is that they have to like sacrifice themselves for religious reasons or whatever to not be that person. And so there's this resentment that I would think build. Mm-hmm. And if you're kind of forcing yourself into a monogamous relationship, because you feel like, oh, I have to do this versus like, this is a sexual orientation and I'm going to be open, upfront, consensual, all those things.
Right.
I think that really, takes away something that could be good and turns it into something that's shady and like cheating.
Yes.
Because there's a difference between having a conversation and saying, hey, we're going to open up our marriage, or our relationship, and just going out and cheating and being like, oh, boys will be boys. You know, that those are
right.
very different. One is a conversation with consent. The other is, you know, a lack of consent, and sometimes falls into emotional abuse. That person doesn't know if you're bringing STDs into the relationship. And again, kind of with the bitterness, like if you're not open and upfront about what you want and you're like trying to contort and force yourself into a certain thing, because you've been told like, this is just how all men are, then that just isn't good and healthy for a relationship. But it also doesn't allow for women to be on a spectrum of what they want sexually.
Yes.
And yes. It sets up these expectations that all women want to be monogamous. It sets mm-hmm. up this expectation that it's like a duty, and that women don't enjoy pleasure and sex. And
right.
It's just also very individual. And my thing about these sexist myths is they put people in boxes and they say, women are this, men are that. This is just how mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, everybody exists on a spectrum, like men, women, non-binary, we exist on a spectrum. You need to get to know people individually and personally to see what their wants and desires are. And you need to have consent and communication in your relationship. So I think these myths not only box people in, but it's like a shortcut and an attempt to not have honest communication and real intimacy, which is talking about what people mm-hmm. want, need, and expect in a relationship. And I think that's, you know, certainly can lead to violence, but even just bad relationships that people don't really truly know each other, and they're just doing things right. out of expectation, or excusing things out of expectation. And I think that's where a lot of the everyday harm comes from, these myths.
That's so true. I agree with all of that. And I definitely see that, how it can lead to just like unhappiness, because you're not mm-hmm. able to be like your authentic self. You're just mm-hmm. trying to fit into a role, or you've been told that you should want this, or you should be like this. And so you're trying to squeeze yourself into that. And if you want, and if that's, you know, that's already how you feel and you want that, that's great for you. But a lot of people just want to like be able to express themselves, be able to like express their needs and be their authentic self. And I think sometimes, or a lot of times, people like are unaware of just the fact that they're trying to like squeeze themselves into these roles that they were told that they have to like play. So yeah, I totally agree with that. And yeah, what about you? What are some things that you have been told or you've heard?
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple things, but first I just want to say, like, I respect people who have consensual open marriages and polyamory and all those things, but I don't have time for another relationship. And I know my husband can't handle more than one of me. Sometimes when I just think of the logistics of that, I'm just like, ooh, I know I'm a handful. And, you know, so respect to those who have different thoughts and feelings, but girl, I'm monogamous to the core. So don't hit my DMs, people.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, one thing that, you know, again, sort of funny on the surface, but got to be really serious. This was like right after I was kind of leaving cult-like environment, like when I was just like really starting to transition and branch out. And I really didn't know a lot about feminist. I would not have called myself a feminist at the time, but I was learning about egalitarianism and equality for women. So I was just like very on the surface. And anyway, I went out for lunch with a guy, and I don't know if it was a date. I don't think it was a date. I'm not sure. Sometimes it's hard to tell, especially in like Christian environments. Like, I don't know what it was, but anyway, we went out for lunch and I was not interested in him. So to me, it wasn't a date. So that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Another conversation we could have. But we were sitting down and he was like asking me what things I'm into. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I've been studying equality for women. And he's like, oh, like feminism and stuff. I was like, well, maybe, I don't know. I'm just kind of looking into these things. And he was like, yeah, but you know, I hear what you're saying with that, but there's just some things that just men are just better at. And I was like, that's interesting. Okay. Like, tell me what some of those things are that you're thinking of. And he was like, well, math, for instance, men are just, you know, generally better at math than women. And he's like, you know, that's just kind of how our brains are. Women's brains are just not wired for math the same way men's brains are. And I was like, really? So like, you've never like met a woman who was good at math? And then like, I just kind of like looked at his face. It just kind of like changed. And he was like, wait, when I was in this math class, and he was in college, he was like, there was this one girl who like got better grades than all of us, like all of us, even the men in math. And I was just like shocked because I didn't think that was possible. And that's the only woman I've seen. So there's probably like something, you know, going on there or something. And I was just like, well, could it just be that maybe your idea of what men and women are good at, you know, maybe that's just a little bit off. And he's like, well, that's a lot to think about. And like, he wasn't even coming at me with like trying to be rude. Like, he just literally believed this, and I had to help him think through like times where he'd seen women be good at math. And when he kind of realized that and brought it to his mind, he was actually open to change. And a couple months later, he reached out to me on Facebook, and he's like, you know, you've changed the whole way I think about women. And we'd only had like the one conversation, but I think sometimes with these myths, it's not, there are some men who are just like trying to be sexist and like really like just have this angst about them. And then there are others like this guy who he just thought it was a fact of life. And he was kind of more on the, I don't know, patronistic side of sexism, where he's like, you know, men are better at this. We better take care of women and, you know, we'll do the heavy lifting kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Which is still harmful, but I was just really in shock because I had grown up with a lot of sexist stereotypes, but that wasn't one of them. That wasn't one of them, that women couldn't do math. And just to kind of see the look on his face. And then months later, he was like, you know, that just changed my whole way I look at women. Thank you for that conversation. It just blew me away. Just something that simple that he had no idea.
Yeah. And I think one, his reaction to it was just like, again, like you said, it wasn't like he was trying to be sexist. This is genuinely what he thought. And you just changed his whole way of thinking by saying, like, you know, making him think about it. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, at the same time, it still is harmful. And it's, I think that one is one that I think is more, has been kind of common in society, mm-hmm. even if we weren't directly told that, we're told in like other ways. Right. And again, like that still is harmful, because what if he was like a teacher grading students, right. or, you know, like a person trying to hire someone for some job that involves math, you know, who is he going to think is like better suited for the job? Or who deserves a raise, or, you know, all of those things, like it impacts all of that. So even if it seems like a silly thing, like, well, I can't believe you think, you know, women can't do math. Well, I feel like it's kind of like a pervasive theme within society, because now we're seeing more and more women in like STEM, you know, like women in STEM, but that has been emphasized because for so long, like women were like excluded or, you know, thought to not, which is so, like, when you really think about it, like, is so illogical, because like, even the things that, like, if some people have these beliefs and they're like, well, men do math and the heavy lifting and women cook. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, cooking is like chemistry. Like, it involves math. And like, that's cooking literally is chemistry. It's like a science. So it's just kind of funny, because it's like, it doesn't even make sense, because, you know, like, I don't know. But yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think it also goes to just show like how people are socialized to believe things. And they just believe it because they were told. I'm sure some of the people that I, you know, in the first comments that I said, like, maybe their parents just told them that, you know, and they believe them. Like Nate, when I met Nate, you know, he had come from a church that was very, they were very restrictive, I guess, in how women, like what women could do, when women could speak, you know, this and that. And so when I like read the Jesus Feminist book, and I was like, oh my God, you know, like men actually, like the Bible doesn't even like mean that. And that's like, honestly, stupid anyway, you know, like men, like, you know, men aren't the leaders of women, and women shouldn't just submit to men. You know, he believed at the time in a very like non-practicing way, because it's Nate, you know, but he believed it because he had gone to this church and this is what they told him. And so again, like if you have, like, if you're like a young child, which is like what he was when we met, you're believing what your parents tell you, what like authority figures such as teachers are telling you, or pastors, or especially when you involve religion and it's like, you know, it connects to your relationship with God, and you feel like you know, in order for God to be pleased with you, you have to believe this. And so all of those things like impacts, you know, and often it's not these just really extremist people who just like hate women and have this like, you know, rage against women. It's just like normal men who are just told these things. And like, why wouldn't I believe it? I was five and my mom told me, like, you know, or my dad told me, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that story highlights that aspect of it, which is really important.
For sure. Yeah. I have two other things, to share. And I mean, there's just so many myths. We could like go on forever.
I know.
But I've noticed it in like business meetings that I've been in, where there will be men losing their minds and being so emotional and driven by certainly not logic. And then I'll pipe in and give an opinion with a little bit of passion, but certainly not anything to the degree that the men have. And then a man will say, hey, let's not, you know, let's tone down the emotions here. And because the emotion of the men was like anger and defensiveness, that wasn't seen as emotion, but me like saying something passionate, like passionately disagreeing, then all of a sudden I'm the emotional one. And so I think there's this myth that that anger in men isn't an emotion, that it's like just the way men are, instead of being like, oh wow, they're really in their emotions right now because they're angry and acting illogical, because all humans run into that sometimes. But that wasn't even considered an emotion. It was just like considered a natural state of men. And for me, being a little bit passionate, which yes, there was emotion in it. Like I'm an emotional person, but my emotions were in check. They were balanced, but that was seen as emotion instead of me just being like flatline when I talk. Attributing certain things to men, that we don't attribute to women, and God forbid a woman be angry, you know, that's really emotional kind of thing. But the last one, this is kind of ties into this one, because I do think it hurts men when men are not really allowed to express a range of emotions that are other than anger. Because all humans should be able to express themselves, and we should learn from the time we're children, we should be taught how to regulate them and how to feel our feels, but also how to not allow them to overtake us to a point where we're not in control of them anymore. Or if we feel to that point, maybe step outside of a group, step outside of a business meeting, deal with it, and then come back. So it's not like on other people all the time, but sort of like going off of that, that men are a certain way, women are another way. I see this a lot of times with male survivors of sexual violence, sexual abuse, because they often are more confused about what happened than women, because they've been told that men are the only ones who can dominate in sex. And so if they were dominated non-consensually in sex, that they're not sure what to do with that. They can't see themselves as being a victim, because men aren't victims in the myth.
Right.
And so that really stunts a lot of the healing in male survivors of abuse, because maybe it was another man, maybe it was a woman who sexually assaulted them, but they have a harder time understanding and processing what happened to them. They feel more shame about it, because people will outright tell them men can't be abused. I've seen some, you know, talk to some men who have been, you know, kicked out of domestic violence prevention centers because people aren't educated on men also experiencing abuse. And so I think that when we look at sexist myths, rightly so, we should consider how they affect women, because that's generally patriarchy's target. Mm-hmm. But I think we also shouldn't forget that these sexist myths also hurt men as well. It's not healthy for anybody. It's not like believing these things helps one person over the other. No, it just, it's toxic for everyone. It destroys relationships. It destroys societies. And I think we just need to see each person as an individual, not put them in boxes, get to know people. That's harder work. Use consent, have conversations and communication, and just realize that we're all unique, and putting people in boxes doesn't help anything. In fact, it usually makes things a lot worse.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And I think that is a really good point to bring up, is that it does affects everyone. It negatively impacts everyone, and it's just toxic. Like, if it's toxic, it's toxic for all. Like, it's not, So yeah, thank you for bringing that up. But I feel like now that we have kind of laid the groundwork and got all our thoughts out, because, you know, we have them about these sexist things, I think we can look forward to our next episode. So next week, we're going to have a guest on, and we're going to talk about, it's going to be lighthearted and funny. And yeah, I hope that you join us for that. And yeah, thanks so much for listening. If you want to leave us a review, if you haven't yet, you can go to Apple Podcasts. We prefer 5 stars, but you can leave your honest review.
This is a 5-star podcast. Come on.
Right. But if you screenshot that review before you hit submit, and you email it to us either at pod.serendipity@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at serendipity.pod, we have a free gift for you. We have some custom Serendipity artwork that is already formatted to fit like desktop, cell phones. You can print it. And so it's really pretty. I like it. So
yeah,
we would love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you have a serendipitous story you want to share, you can contact us in those same ways and share it with us. Since this was a heavier episode, we didn't share our serendipitous stories this time, but we're always on the lookout for them. And again, next week's is going to be really funny. It was important to kind of lay the groundwork, talk about the serious stuff, get that out of the way so we can just have a good laugh.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. See you next
time. Thanks. Bye.